This morning's scripture reading will be coming from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. We'll be reading from the King James, if you'll follow along. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Brother Dennis.
This morning's lesson is actually begins in Hebrews 3 and verse 7, but it goes all the way through Hebrews 4 and verse 13. The writer here is giving us a calling to remember. And the writer of this lesson, if you read the book of Hebrews, oftentimes takes us back to the Old Testament. And it challenges us with those accounts on how we are to live today. In fact, the word today is the word that he camps on in this section of the letter, along with the word rest. I'd like us to go back to the account that the writer talks in chapter 3. We find that account recorded in Exodus chapter 17. The Hebrew people had come out of Egypt. They had crossed over to the Red Sea, and they are traveling a long route around to Mount Sinai. And along the way, they had little water to drink and complained to Moses. And it was there that God had turned the bitter water to sweet water. And soon after that, they ran out of food. And they complained again at how great it was in Egypt and how all the different types of food they had. So God had given them manna and quail. And again, when the people could not find water, they complained to Moses. And this time Moses asked the question, why do you test the Lord? You see, their problem is a problem of unbelief. These people did not believe that God would meet their needs. But these people, they continued to complain. And the place where all of this took place was called Massa and Meribah. Those words carry the idea of testing and quarreling. How many times in our lives have we found ourselves with an unbelieving heart where we want to test God and to quarrel with him about what is unfair? It is this account that is recorded in Psalms 95, and it is quoted in Hebrews 3 and chapter 4. Here, the writer wants us to remember that day. And he wants us to decide how we are going to live today. If you have your Bible, the writer draws us to the word today four times in these passages. And after the writer quotes Psalm 95 in verse 4, he gives us the teaching in Hebrews 3 in verses 12 through 15. And he writes, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And while it is said, today, if you will hear this voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. You know, there are an awful lot of people out there who believe and don't put off till tomorrow what you can put off the next day. Procrastination is the modus operandi of many people in society. But spiritual laziness and spiritual apathy can have a very great cost. In James 4 and verse 7, James, he writes, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Now, that's the truth. But here's the question. How do you resist the devil and draw near to God? See, unless we are proactive in adding to our faith all those virtues that Peter teaches, we will find it easy to slip into unbelief, and we will miss out on today. Now, this is not an easy teaching. God is asking us to step up our connection with the Christians in this local family. The word exhort is that of encouraging or helping. And that is calling what needs to be happening today. Let's keep going. Let's keep digging a little bit more into our text. Right now, I'd like to listen to Hebrews 5 in the first five verses. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as to them. The word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day of all his works. And this place again, they shall enter into my rest." Have you ever thought about rest? A lot of us look at Sunday afternoon and we're going to rest. The Sabbath day, when God made it holy, God rested from his labors of 6 days. But he also commanded the Jews to honor that day. That day was a Saturday. All of that changed when Christ died. And the first day of the week became a week of importance. It's not a day to where we can't work. It is not a day to where everything has to be prepared ahead of time. It is a day that dedicated that we can remember the Lord. But rest is a gift of God. And the writer uses the word rest several different ways in chapter 4. He talks about the promised land as a place of rest, the Sabbath day as a day of rest that we find in the creation account. But throughout, he talks about the rest that God desires to give us. And what is the rest that God wants to give us? Hebrews 4 and verse 11. By text we are told, "Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest." Other translations use the word strive instead of labor. You see, all of the first generation of the Hebrews, when they left Egypt, they failed to enter into the rest that God had promised them. A rest that from the creation had meaning and value. The writer here He does three things with that word rest. First, he talks about the Sabbath rest that God gave on the seventh day of creation. That is the first clue for us that rest is a gift from God and that it has an eternal promise attached to it. And therefore, he made the Jews a holy day. And he commanded them to keep the Sabbath, to keep that day of rest. Now, we are not a slave to work 24/7. God wants us to slow down. He wants us to bask in his glory. He wants us to spend time with him in the stillness of our hearts. He wants us to come together in a collective worship. He wants us also to have our quiet meditation. Rest. And second, the promised land was seen as rest. Verse 8 of Hebrews 4, if you'll look there with me. He said, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" Now let's go back to the past again. There was a problem when Joshua took all of the Jews over into the promised land. And that problem ended up being from the fact that they did not possess all of it. And in fact, because of that failure, they would suffer from battles with the other people in those regions for generations. They never fully received the rest of the promised land that God had promised. In verses 9 and 10, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. This is the other rest. You are the people of God. He that is entered into that rest, he also is ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Our rest. Unlike the Jews of old, our rest comes by Jesus to us. How many of us have kept the law perfectly? We fail. And we cannot fix our failures. And therefore, our works only drive us harder and further from Christ. Through Jesus, we have grace. Not a liberty to sin, but grace that covers our failure from works. We rest in the grace of Jesus, just as God rested from his works, the creation. This rest that comes through Jesus is not about us doing nothing spiritually, or letting sin to continue reigning in our lives. Paul was very adamant about grace. In verses 11 through 13 of Hebrews 4, the writer here says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow." Here's the scary part. "And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto his eyes of him to whom we have to do. That is a couple of verses of scripture that should strike the fear in the hearts of every single human being. A discerner of thoughts and intents. Everything is laid open to him. We cannot hide from him. We cannot allow unbelief or a lack of faith in God, attesting and complaining to God, to keep us from the rest that God offers. When we read the Bible from the very beginning to the very end, we see God challenging us. We see God challenging mankind. He challenges us to grow. He challenges us to see ourselves through the power of Scripture. We are challenged by him to keep moving forward. We are challenged by him to strive for holiness. We are challenged by him to be aware that our sins are not hidden from him, and that we must give an account of our lives to him. Should we worry about that? The Hebrew writer wants us to understand that our great high priest, Jesus Christ, has our sins atoned for. For today we are called to remember that unbelief that keeps us from God's rest. Christ gave all mankind the opportunity, the chance to enter into rest. When we read in the Bible the accounts of the lake of fire, where all of Satan and his angels and all who fail will wind up, you see no reference whatsoever of rest. It is turmoil and pain and suffering. But God promises those who believe and to the utmost of their abilities obey rest. If you haven't obeyed the gospel today, you can enter into God's rest with confidence. Through the tenets of salvation, through the repentance and confession and from baptism and living the best of your ability a faithful life, you can receive the rest that God promises. The choice is yours. God allows you to make that choice. Just as he allows us to make all the choices in our everyday life. But with all the choices we make, there are consequences, good and bad. You obey the gospel, the consequences are good. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you have fallen into unbelief. Maybe you've strayed from the paths of righteousness. Maybe you need to return to him who promises a rest from your labors. If there is anyone here this morning who's in need of the invitation, We pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.